Well, this is a true story. A priest friend of mine was in the Vatican celebrating Mass on a Sunday with thousands of people, people from Italy and France and Germany and Austria and America. He was asked to help distribute Holy Communion. And so he felt if the person looked like they were American or English speaking, he would say, the body of Christ. If they looked like they were maybe from Europe or from a different country that didn't speak English, he would say, Corpus Christi, which, as you know, is the Latin is the universal language of the church. That means the body of Christ. So people will come up, you either say the body of Christ or Corpus Christi. One fellow came up who looked like he was German, so the priest said, Corpus Christi. And the fellow whispered back, no, Father, I'm from Houston, Texas, not Corpus Christi. It is neat that in America we have two major cities named after the Eucharist, named after the Blessed Sacrament. We have Corpus Christi, Texas, and we have Sacramento, California. Today, of course, is the feast day of Corpus Christi. I just wanted to spend a few moments walking us through the Mass and hit some of the highlights about the Mass. The Mass, of course, is the greatest prayer. It is Jesus offering himself to the Father for each one of us. When we go to Mass, we are made present at the Last Supper, at Calvary, and at the moment of the resurrection. It brings all of these events into one, and we become present. The Mass is not a repeat of the sacrifice of Christ. It's not a new sacrifice. It is the one and only sacrifice of Christ made present to us here and now. So when we attend Mass, we are truly with Jesus and those apostles in the upper room. We're truly at the foot of the cross, and we're there when Jesus rose from the dead. The Mass, of course, is where we encounter Christ, first in his word and then in the Eucharist. Many of the great spiritual writers have said that our spiritual life is has three stages. The first stage is the purgative way, then the illuminative way, and then the unitive way. The writers say that we all pass through these stages in this life or in purgatory. So the purgative way is where we repent of our sins and are cleansed of our sins. Then the illuminative way is where we enlighten our mind. And then the unitive way is when we become one with God. Well, the Mass walks us through those three stages. At the beginning of the Mass, we have the penitential rite where we tell God we're sorry for our sins. And then we go through that purification. And then the readings that we hear are the illuminative way that enlighten our mind. And then we receive Holy Communion, the unitive way. The word communion means union with. So the Mass concludes by us receiving Jesus. Now, of course, every Mass starts out invoking God's name. We always pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord. When we invoke God's name, he becomes truly present among us. And the name of God, the name of Jesus, is the holiest name. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend, in heaven, on earth, and even under the earth. So we begin every Mass by invoking the name of God and making the sign of the cross. And the saints tell us that every time we make this sign of the cross, the demons flee. The evil spirits, the evil one, the devil and his demons flee. They cannot stand the sign of the cross. So we always begin our Mass with that. And then the priest will say, the Lord be with you. A very important biblical phrase that we want God to be with us, just as he was with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua and Gideon and our Blessed Mother. The angel said to her, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And then we call to mind our sins. Bishop Sheen said when he did this, he would always look at the crucifix. When it says, let us call to mind our sins, he didn't necessarily think about any specific sin, but he just looked at the cross, at the crucifix, and he said, Jesus, I am sorry that my sins put you on the cross. So he looked at the five wounds of Christ and made an act of sorrow for his sins. And that's a beautiful thing to do. When we come to that point, we should tell God we're sorry for our sins. And the priest says, may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us into everlasting life. That prayer absolves venial sins, which are small sins. Mortal sins, of course, have to be confessed in the sacrament of confession. But at that prayer of the Mass, venial sins are forgiven. And then we praise God with the Gloria, which is the prayer that the angels told the shepherds, glory to God in the highest. and peace to his people on earth. And then we go into the readings. There's always a reading from the Old Testament, a Psalm, a New Testament, and Gospel reading. The best thing is that these readings are on a three-year cycle. So that means if you're, as a Catholic, go to Mass every Sunday for 3 years, you've heard almost the entire Bible being read to you every 3 years. If you've gone to Mass for 30 years, you've heard the Bible 10 times. We should know the Bible better than anybody, right? Because of these three-year cycle of readings. And there's always a common theme between the first reading and the gospel. Always look for that theme. Look for the theme of, like, today is the Eucharist, or it could be prayer, or faith, or humility, or perseverance, or trust. And then, after the readings comes the homily, which is all part of the illuminative way, the readings and the homily. Now, I granted sometimes the homily might be more of a purgatory way, right? It might be more purgative, but it should be illuminative. And then we recite the creed, and the creed is our profession of faith. That's so important to recite the creed well. And then we have the general intercessions, where we pray for the Pope, the bishops, the needs of the church, the president, the world leaders, world peace, respect for life, the sick, and those who have died. And then, just like at a football game has two halves, so the Mass has two halves. Did you ever notice that? The liturgy of the Word is the first half, the liturgy of the Eucharist the second half. The people that bring up the gifts, that's the halftime show, right? Those are the ones that separate the first half from the second half, and then the liturgy of the Eucharist. And the priest says these ancient Hebrew prayers, Jewish prayers, "Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. Through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you." And then after those prayers, we then say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That prayer is from Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Today, Jesus will come into this church again in the Holy Eucharist under the appearance of bread and wine. And then the priest can choose one of the four Eucharistic prayers. But the most important part of the Eucharistic prayer is called the words of institution, where the priest repeats those words of Jesus. "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood." And at that very moment, the great miracle of transubstantiation takes place, and the bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ under his risen, glorified form, under the appearances of bread and wine. A great event takes place at every Mass. And of course, the more you know about the Mass and study the Mass in the Bible, the more you'll get out of it. Just as, so if you go to an opera and know about the opera, the more you'll get out of it. I once took a priest friend of mine from Dublin, Ireland, to a baseball game, to the Nationals game. For 9 innings, he sat there, couldn't figure it out. He knew all about cricket, but he thought it was such a boring thing, he couldn't figure out baseball. That's because he didn't bring any knowledge of baseball to the game. The more knowledge of the Mass and the Bible we bring, the more interesting and the more we can get out of the Mass. At the Last Supper, notice that Jesus said it was a Passover meal, but there was one thing missing. Normally in a Passover meal, they would eat the lamb. The Jewish people ate the lamb. But at the Last Supper, there was no eating of the lamb, because instead, Jesus, the Lamb of God, gave himself to the disciples and to us in Holy Communion. So Jesus is the Lamb. And then the Mass concludes by us receiving Holy Communion. And when we say that word, amen, it means I believe, I'm willing to stake my life upon that truth. We receive Holy Communion. And right before we receive communion, the priest says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Again, the theme of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the Supper of the Lamb. The Supper of the Lamb is the heavenly wedding feast. It is the book of Revelation. So the Mass lifts us up to heaven and to the book of Revelation, where we receive and participate in the Supper of the Lamb. We say, "Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. Only say the word and my soul shall be healed." Then after communion, we take Jesus into our hearts and souls in communion. And this is when we should try to focus upon Jesus, the divine guest within our soul. And so this is where we have to drive out distractions. And all of us can be distracted. We're thinking, well, I wonder what flavor donut there is over there today. Or trying to figure out the exit strategy of getting out of the parking lot. See, these things can be distractions, but instead we need to do our best to focus upon Jesus and love him and adore him and thank him and praise him. And then the closing prayer of the Mass, the priest will give the final blessing. So, of course, the Mass also ends with the sign of the cross. And the last word said at the Mass could be said by the priest or deacon. Go forth, the Mass is ended. Go and proclaim the gospel of the Lord. Go and glorify the Lord by your life. So did you ever notice that the word go is in all of those final prayers? And that's because the word Mass itself comes from the Latin Missa, which means to be sent forth. The Mass means to be one with Christ, to be transformed by him, and then to be sent forth to transform the world. And then the final prayer you say is, thanks be to God. I think that's sort of humorous. The Mass is ended. Well, thanks be to God. You know, but it's done in the proper way of truly gratitude to God. So when we think about the Mass, just remember that it is an encounter with Christ. First, in his word. Then in the Eucharist, the Mass is where we become one with Christ in Holy Communion. But then the Mass is the sending forth, the dismissal, so we then can go out and bring Christ to the world.